हरे ओ गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Vijaya, earlier you spoke of four kinds of Nayaka, Dhirodatta, Dhira Lalita, Dhira Shanta, and Dhirodatta. What is the relationship between these four kinds of Nayaka and the second set of four Nayakas you have just mentioned? What, for example, are the characteristics of the Dhirodatta, Anukul Nayaka? So you have the Anukul, favorable, Dakshina, guileless, Shatha, duplicious, and Drishta, audacious. Right? So he's trying to say, what's the combination between these? So you get the four and the four. Goswami. Adhirodatta Anukul Nayaka is grave, humble, forgiving, compassionate, fixed in his resolve, not boastful of himself, modest, and is very noble and generous. However, he is also quick to forsake all these qualities and run secret to meet his Nayika's sweetheart heroine. Right? So all these, you know, very noble qualities are manifest, right? But at any moment, then if there's a possibility to be with the Nayika, he might drop those to be with her, right? Because these kind of elements then are very nice as a position, but as an interaction, then they're not as strong. Does that make sense? Because it's all about the good qualities, right? So that gravity, then that's there. It's something to be appreciated, but how do you interact with the gravity? Humility is fine, forgiving, compassion, fixed in his resolve. But then the point is fixed in his resolve means you're aware of the being fixed in the resolve, right? Well, generally you see the interaction with the Nayika then means that resolve is more hidden, because then if it's understood what he's trying to do, it may not match in, because it's got to move according to what she wants to happen. Does that make sense? So that's what I said before. That's like Lord Ramachandra and like that. So, you know, it's there. You know what he's doing and everything like that. Does that make sense? But you see, when he's with Sita, then that humility, that forgiving, compassionate, not boastful of himself, that's very nice. But we'll see in other things, then for fun, Krishna's sitting there and boasting. You know, why are you picking flowers here? This is my forest. Who gave you the permission to pick flowers in my forest? You know, I mean, so it brings out, it brings out some fun. So in this, that's not there. Right, so that modesty is there. So if the girl's angry or that, then that works nicely. But if it's not, you know, if she's not angry, then the other moods work very well. Right, if she's angry, if she's upset, especially this works if she's upset, disturbed by something, not at the Nayaka. Right, some external thing. So that kind of, that compassion, that being fixed and resolved, being not being postal, modest, noble, generous, works very nicely. You understand? So all these things have their place where they work very nicely. But it said, however, he is quick to forsake all these qualities and run secretly to meet his Nayaka. Right? Because then that means these things are being manifest in public. right? And then very quickly, if he knows that there's an opportunity to meet, then he may leave all that. Okay. Vijaya, kindly describe the Dira Lalita Anukul Nayaka. Right, so we're taking one, the Anukul, and then going through all four. Then the next like this. Goswami, the qualities of the Dira Lalita Anukul Nayaka, right? Because Anukul means it's favorable. Right? Does that make sense? That's what he said. Yeah, favorable. So it means it's all directed, it's very nice. Because Nayaka means there'll be a... means that they say? Yeah, it would be... The Nayaka means that there be with the Nayaka, right? Right? The long is the feminine. So,
yeah, Nayika. Anyway.
Oh, Nayika. Yeah, Nayaka. Okay. So the Nayaka, then the idea is that it's favorable to the feminine mood because she doesn't mind that she has a man that's fixed and is resolved and this and that. It means he'll be stable and steady. He's dependable. Right? But that's, you know, in the overall. Then there's the actual interaction. Right? Does that make sense? So depending upon the situation, different qualities are manifest. So now, Dira Lalita. Goswami, the qualities of the Dira Lalita Anukul Nayaka are brilliant wit, ever youthful, a relisher of rasa, self-confident, and without anxiety. When these attributes are features of his character combined with the constant enjoyment of pleasure, he is called Dira Lalita Anukul Nayaka. Right? And so there's constant, because there's no anxiety. Because everything's going fine. He's comfortable, he's confident. Like that. Anxiety comes if you're not confident, right? So he's confident. So it works very, very nicely. Right, so this works very good. The brilliant wit, ever youthful, relisher of rasa. So these things work very nice in other aspects of the interaction. Vijaya, what is the nature of Dira Shanta Anukul Nayaka? Goswami, his nature is peaceful, tolerant, considerate, and he is guided by his conscience. Right? While the other is he's guided by that self-consciousness, relisher of rasa. You know, like this. He's very relaxed. While here it's that he's very considerate, guided by his consciousness, right? So it's much very peaceful and more there. It doesn't have the outgoing element that you see in the Dhirodatta, right? Because there it's that nobleness, that you know, you're going to get something done, like this. This is just that nice interaction and all that. Always very pleasant. Right? You see, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, he gets a lot done. But you don't see that attitude, right? You'll see that more in Arjuna, or like this, right? Ramachandra is the perfect example. But he's always just peaceful, you know, considerate of everybody else and all these kind of things. Okay. Vijaya, and the Dhirodatta Anukul Nayaka. Goswami, when the personality of the Dhirodatta Nayaka, which is marked by envy, pride, deceptiveness, anger, and self-praise, becomes favorable, he is known as the Dhirodatta Anukul Nayaka. Right? So these elements, they are when they're favorable, then they become nice. Right? So then let's say there's the gopi, everybody's there, the demon comes, and then he says, you know, okay, like this, you're not going to bother here, and, you know, I'll show you, and you're just, like he said to Pandrika, just a frog croaking, and now the black snake of Krishna is going to come and swallow you up. So these kind of things, then if it's favorable to the Nayaka, right, then that's the position. Because in the other one, it's manifest more fully, then it's very good for that chivalrous relationship there between Krishna and the enemies. But here it's got to be Nayaka, right? So therefore, then it's being done in relation to something around. Because otherwise you can't apply envy, deceptive anger, in the relationship with the Nayaka. Does that make sense? So it has to be something about it. All right, there may be instances, but generally that means it's going to be, he can be boastful and self-confident as the Dira Lalita. But it's witty. You understand that self-confidence is manifest through wittiness. While in here, it's just that, you know, pride of their prowess. So then, yes.
These are the qualities of Krishna, right?
These are all, this, we're now going through the personality of Krishna. See, that's the thing is now, somebody is generally known by having one of these. But Krishna has all of them. He's the source of all the different aspects of personality. Right? So generally someone is in one, you know, you have these four, the Diro, Dutta, Diro, Lalita, these four main aspects of personality. Then whether it's favorable or now the next one is guileless. Right? So these are subsections within that. So now someone may be within one of those person, have those aspects within the personality. So you can have those four, you know, favorable, guileless, deceptive, all that within one personality. Right? So that way you end up with the different aspects, right? But here Krishna has all four of the main ones with these four other aspects. So then he ended with 16. Does that make sense? Right. Yeah.
Another doubt. When we're talking about
a little loudly.
Lalita. When in the both pastime, after everything is peaceful. Does that come in?
Be self-confident, a relisher of rasa. What's the point of being witty and ever youthful?
Roughly.
Yes, but what will be the goal of that?
Attract the gopis.
Huh?
To attract the gopis.
Attract the gopis, yeah. Right. So he's attracted them, then he can be a relisher of rasa. He's self-confident without anxiety. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that will be that moment when that attains it, comes to that prayojana aspect. But once it comes to that, then now that means he's met his position and she's surrendered. But to maintain that, then it will naturally switch. Because then she'll take on moods and then he'll have to be either considerate or, you know, some other aspects will be there. You understand? So this is where you're going through all of these one by one, but they're not like fixed. They're constantly moving and changing. Why would they move and change?
The taste for us.
Yes, but what will be the cause of that?
The devotees.
You understand? Because the devotees, it means here, Nayaka, then the feminine aspect is always changing. So then the masculine responds to that. Right? In other words, there's a situation that's there, they're open. Right? So then he can be, means if the gopis are open, you know, in other words, okay, let's see what he's got. Right? Then he can pull his, you know, this Dira Lalita and, you know, do the whole thing, be witty and clever and all these different kind of aspects. Because they're open to see what's happening. And then depending upon them, then they get upset and then this, and it turns into a whole. Does that make sense? But then once it comes into some other aspect, that aspect of the pastime has gotten its run, its cycle, you know, from the attraction to attachment to the activity to tasting that rasa. Then some other mood comes up, and so then it changes. That's the whole idea, is that Krishna's pleasure is increased by the constant variety of tastes of rasa. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's what's going on. Make sense? Just sometimes you say something and then you look out, there's all these kind of like very pleasant blank looks. Yeah, great. I just find that interesting. So that can either be, I don't know what he's talking about, or I don't know what he's talking about. You know what I mean? A variety of, you know. Are you for real?
Krishna likes variety.
Yeah. So, okay.
Could also be, I have to remember to buy rice.
I have to remember to buy rice. Yeah, but everybody at once, you know. Oh, so there's rice. Oh, yeah, and cauliflower. Okay, how may a Nayika become Dakshina? The word dakshina means honest and guileless. A dakshina nayaka does not lessen his respect, fear, and submissive love for his first nayaka, even when he becomes romantically attached to another nayaka. Therefore, he maintains relationships of equal depth with many nayikas simultaneously, is called dakshina nayika. Right? Because then the other one then we see is the anukul means it's specific with one. Right? So that's why it said that something can be given up to interact. Right? In the first one. Right? In the anukul. So here in dakshina, honest and guileless. So even if he's involved with others, he still doesn't drop the relationship with the primary nayika. Vijaya, what are the symptoms of the sata nayika? Right? So, in other words, all those other aspects are there. Means the one is where the one is prominent. The other is where many will be prominent, but it's not that when you're moving from one to the next, the previous ones drop. Does that make sense? It means that you're just expanding. So you're being considerate, and like that's where the honest and guileless. It's just, that's just that openness. Right? So that has its place. In other words, if he's another gopi, it's not that he's dropped his interest in Radharani. Therefore, the Manjaris can come and collect him. Right? It means he'll be with Chandravali. And then because she's right-wing, right-wing means submissive. I belong to Krishna, so therefore it's all about Krishna. So then when Rupa will come and say that, you know, oh, your favorite, you know, cow has become stuck and needs your help and all that, then she'll automatically say, oh, yes, yes, go, go. You understand? So it's not that he says, no, I'm with her now, you know, so it's got you come back later. Does that make sense? So he's keeping that element. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes.
And Radharani, left wing means Krishna belongs to her.
Yes, Krishna belongs to her. That's why when Krishna comes into the assembly, all the other gopis go forward. Radharani and her gopis stand on the side because Krishna belongs to them. It's just, you know, some time and he has to come to them. Right? Does that make sense? So it's just as greater commitment, so there's greater control. That's the thing in these, is much of the time whatever looks one way is the other way. Right? In the material world we always do the mode of ignorance. Interpret all these backwards. That's why there's so much difficulty in masculine-feminine relationships here. It's because it's always about yourself. And so that's the mode of ignorance. It's always interpreted reverse to what it actually is. So when there is that kind of mood, one thinks, oh, there's less interest. These others see there's so much more enthusiastic to see me. But the other ones are so much more surrendered that their commitment is so much greater that therefore that equalness of commitment means that Krishna belongs to us. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, of course, it's if I belong to Krishna, then Krishna's mine. But the prominence is I belong to Krishna. Right? And the other is Krishna's mine is the promise. Of course they belong to Krishna. But you understand? One is it's prominent that it's spoken. The other it's not spoken. Does that make sense? So it means it's deeper. Yeah?
The first time that Srimati Radharani is complaining that Krishna is playing a flute and everybody is coming, she's manifesting that element.
Yeah, no, that would be as she's complaining, because the point is she's complaining because she's the prominent personality, but the point is the dance becomes so much more expanded and more pleasurable for Krishna when there's more there. Because the point is Radharani also appreciates seeing other gopis with Krishna. You know, that Krishna's being happy by their association. Right? The element, because then she's there and they're there. Does that make sense? So her plus the other gopis, that's fun. Because she's the total personality of gopi. Right? Is that known? Right? Yeah. So then therefore, he's getting that complete taste plus something more. But if it's just the other gopi without the connection with her, then she's the complete gopi, no one else is, so how he'll get the complete happiness? That's why she's upset. So if the arrangements are other gopis without her, she's upset because Krishna's not fully satisfied. But because Krishna says, as they surrender, I reciprocate, he has to reciprocate with them. Right? That's just his nature. Right? The feminine nature is, if I'm not getting what's required out of it, I don't get involved. The masculine nature is, no, that's just the duty. You understand? So therefore she understands, but the point is he's not getting the full happiness. Therefore she's upset. Does that make sense? That's why everything appears one way, but it's another. That's the nature. See, up to all the first four rasas, what you see is what you get. But with the conjugal rasa, because it's everything, it's the totality, then sometimes it appears direct, but most of the time it's indirect. You don't see it as it is. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let us say, once every 3 months, 6 months, then the wife is very open and straightforward about what she likes or doesn't like, or interactions and that, in a pleasant way. She's just informing you of how it is. Right? So, but that is only, but that doesn't mean that that same mood is not there the whole time. It's just that all that time it's all indirect. Then you get a few moments of direct, just to give some understanding of what's going on. Then it goes immediately back to the indirect. You know, it's like, so say that, and if you got, could you say that again? And it's already back to the indirect. Now you have to wait again. So in other words, when a woman is direct, pay attention, because that's not normal. You know what I'm saying? That's not the standard. The man will think, okay, now it's real, now this is what we want. That, you're not going to get that. That doesn't happen. So therefore, and then it's like, oh, she just said that. So, okay, well, that's just another thing that's said. No, that was the thing. Everything else between that and the next 3 months is what you have to base your dealings on. You don't take that as the foundation. You miss the point. And you miss that point too many times, they lose interest. Because then you can't work with this guy. Does that make sense? So the direct is not the natural position. It's just there to let you know. In other words, and the only reason they let you know is because they see potential. Right? It seems to be working, so if we say this, it'll get better. You understand? But if they don't see potential, there's no question they'll ever be direct. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Direct is in support of indirect.
Yeah, it's only so that the indirect goes properly. Because maybe you're trying hard, but you haven't quite got it, so then they'll tell you so that you can get it, because they appreciate the effort you're making. But if you're not making the effort, they're not going to say anything.
So in the pastime of Srimati Radharani, when she throws the flute in the Jamuna, she's just wanting that in the end she will be in Krishna and all the gopis and the pleasure will be bigger.
That's there, because the point is then, you know, that's his friend, it's this and that. So there's some element there to bring out, because then it's just the two of them. You know, and so that is also an aspect, because the point is always being with the others needs to be balanced with just them only. You know what I'm saying? Everything has to be balanced. If it's going one way, it has to go the other way. So in other words, if everything's going right, the way the man thinks it should be, then that's been tasted. Now everything has to go wrong to balance it. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, what's the meaning of the taste of everything going right? Because if everything going right is always happening, how is that special? Special means it's different. You know what I'm saying? So that's all. Okay. What are the symptoms of Shatanayika? The Nayika who is amiable and sweet in the presence of a Nayika, but vituperative and offensive behind her back is called Shata, two-faced. Okay. Okay, amiable and sweet. So, yeah. And Vijaya, what are the symptoms of Drishta Nayika? Goswami, a Nayika carries signs of intimacy. So Drishta, what was Drishta? Audacious. Audacious? Audacious. Whoever worked out the spelling didn't do a good job. Said whoever worked out the spelling in the 1800s didn't do a good job. It's just day. So where's the symptom that there's an E sound there? You know what I'm saying? Because they left the shies. You know, they leave all these complicated things, but then obvious things they leave out. So it seems it was fairly whimsical.
Very.
Yeah, and whoever it was really didn't like Y's, right? Because if you look at all the older stuff, everything where there'd be an I was always a Y before. You know? Okay. What are the symptoms of Drishta Nayika? A Nayika carries signs of intimacy with another Nayika upon his body, but boldly and glibly lies in the presence of the Nayika, who is presently with him, is a Drishta Nayika. Audacious romantic hero. Right? Says, you know, what's this? Who knows? I don't know. So, Vijaya, how many types of Nayikas are there altogether? Right? In other words, what it's these things can be used, but the point is if it doesn't work, it doesn't mean that it was useful using it. Right? That means the man's done something wrong when he's pulled up on it. You can be audacious, but then you have to be able to pull it off. Because as soon as it doesn't go that way, it has to be able to change into another flavor. Does that make sense? But if he doesn't, he sticks to it, you know, because his friends down at the pub told him to, then it's going to fail. Okay. Vijaya, how many types of Nayakas are there altogether? Goswami, as far as we are concerned, Krishna is the only Nayaka. In Dwarka, he is Purna, complete. In Mathura, he is Purnatara, more complete. And in Vraja, he is Purnatma. Purnatama. Most complete. Since Krishna is both Pati and Upapati in the three grades of completeness, we reach six variables of Nayikas. Okay, so now you catch what you're getting here. You're taking Purna, Purnatara, and Purnatama. Right? And then you're mixing that with Pati and Upapati. So you get six. Okay? Then we compound the four kinds of Nayikas, such as Dhirodatta, etc., with the previous six, making 24. And then these 24 is multiplied by the second set of four Nayikas, such as Anukul Dakshin, and we arrive at 96 types of Nayika. Nayika.
Yeah.
Okay? So this way we get 96 aspects of the personality. Okay? So that's why it's not such a well understood science. Right? But as you see, it's an exact science.
Yeah.
But now, which one is going to be manifest depends upon the feminine nature that's manifest. Now you should consider that there are 24 Nayakas in Svakiya Rasa and 24 in Parakiya Rasa. Right? In his Vraja Lila pastimes, Krishna's Svakiya Rasa is Sankocha, withdrawn mood. However, his Parakiya Rasa is eternally displayed in Vraja by the 24 different Vraja Nayakas. Different Nayaka types are displayed as required for the great variety of pastimes. even just for short periods. However, all of them are distinctly recognizable. Right? You can see each one of these. That's where the taste is. You know, so naturally, as he takes one, they'll take another, and then he'll respond to that, and then it just keeps on going. Yes?
We have your 24 and 24, that's 48, and the other ones go into another table.
Well, he's left out the, how do you say? I mean, something has been left out that's been dropped. You're not considering something there because you're dropping two. You know, so in Vrindavan he's complete. So then you're dropping out the Dorka and Mathura, you know, aspect. So Dorka and Mathura you count as one, you know, basically, because there it's Swakya. You know, that'll be manifest more. Vijaya, Gurudev, I am gradually discerning the unique characteristics of the different types of Nayaka. Now I am keen to learn who are the Sahayas, assistants of Krishna as Nayaka. But who's going to assist him? As the Nayaka, you need assistance. Right? That's how it all works. It means, why is it that in the romantic element that, I mean, you do have it, but no, you don't. Yeah, you just don't. Means the Nayaka, whoever is there, he always has assistance. You know, his best friend, or his, you know, some you know, his sisters. There's always somebody there. So that's why when you put it into the category of like the kings and all this, then there's so many more assistants. Right? It expands the, you know, what you can do. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
Just a question on the last page. The Gautami answered, as far as we are concerned, Krishna is the only Nayaka.
Yeah.
Means it's, we are concerned with Gaudiya Vaishnava.
No, it's just the fact. You know, but I mean, we especially bring it out. But everybody else also, there's only God.
Yes.
He's the masculine, everybody else is the feminine position.
So it's like, it's a general statement. It's not we are concerned and other people are concerned by other...
No, it's I mean, it's, see, is you have to be able to appreciate the subtleness that is there in a way of, you know, because otherwise you're talking about an aspect of personality, right? So it's more, even though it's the knowledge of it, that, you know, the different principles at work, still that aspect of rasa is your prominent aspect. So you're trying to do things, speak in such a way that fits that. And because you're dealing in how the Nayika and Nayika interact, right, then there's an element of indirectness and subtlety. So that's, therefore, he'll say, they have like this, and he doesn't then go on to say, therefore, apply this, and this one, apply this, and that. It's just understood, you know? So hearing, you know, as far as we're concerned, he's the only Nayaka. But the point is there are, you can say, technically, there are other males in the whole arrangement. But they're basically only seen as assistants to the Nayaka.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So you don't necessarily see them. If you ask on the principle, they'll say, yes, it's like this. But then there can be others can be quite prominent. But actually, Krishna is the only Nayaka. You know, because, you know, Balaram is also a Nayaka. Does that make sense? But as far as we're concerned, only Krishna's a Nayaka. Right? But there are gopis who Balaram is their Nayaka. Right? So they're going to be friends with Krishna, have a conjugal relationship with Balaram. While Krishna's gopis have a conjugal relationship with him and are friends with Balaram. You know what I'm saying? So just even within the Braja, you could say that there's two. Right? You know, but as far as they're concerned, then Balaram also is just assisting in Krishna's pastimes, which he is. But being the personality of Godhead, he has his own energies, so therefore. Does that make sense? So in other words, that subtlety we have to be able to take. Does that make sense? Okay. Now I am keen to learn who are the Sahayas, assistants of Krishna as Nayaka. Goswami. The Nayaka has five categories of Sahaya. Cheta, confidential messenger. Vita, attendant. Vidushak, humorist. Pita Mardha, highly qualified friend. And Priyanarma Shaka, confidential friend. The Sahayas, so the cowherd boys, when you're describing cowherd boys, the friends, then it will be defined in this five categories, right? So this is why, because these are the five categories, how they assist him in relationships with the gopis. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, if you're just counting cowherd boy relationships, then there's those who are the same, it means who are junior, right? Then who are equal, who are senior, and then who are confidential. Right? Because then you're just placing the position of, you know, boys amongst boys. Right? But here is that this categorization means how they're assisting Krishna in his relationship with the gopis. Right? Does that make sense?
Mark, do all of the cowherd boys fit in one of these five categories?
I would expect so, but at the same time, it's not necessarily, that's not the categorization. It's a slightly different categorization like that. We'd have to see as they go through like that. Because in any case, if they're doing anything in connection with Krishna, they're assisting in the pastimes. Because the whole of Braj is only for Radha and Krishna to be together. Right? So then, like that. Okay. The Sahayas are all proficient in sweet and pleasing conversation. They possess deep anurag, commitment to Krishna. They are excellent in juggling time and circumstances. They are expert and versatile. They can charm the gopis to pacify their anger. And they also offer intimate and confidential advice to the gopis. So it's not necessarily, I would say from that, it's not necessarily all of them. That's those who are involved in it. Right. Okay. So, proficient and sweet and pleasing conversation. Right? Because otherwise, how do you interact with the ladies? So you're going to sneak in. Good luck. You know, like the elephant trying to sneak in. Okay. Coming to the class, or you have other engagements?
No, I just need to see the voice for a second.
Okay. So you won't notice you the second time you come back either. Okay. Oh, well, you can try again. You just go this way. Yeah, back in the 90s, he was the manager of the school. Okay, sweet and pleasing conversation. You can't interact with ladies without that, right? Possess deep anuraga, commitment to Krishna, so they're going to always try to work it out nicely for Krishna. Okay. They're excellent at judging time and circumstance because you have to know what is happening at the exact moment. You get that wrong, then there's always going to be a problem, right? Because that's much of the time what is a disturbance. Is that it's not that the attitude is not something nice, but you have to know when to do that. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Okay. They're expert and versatile. So that means they're very good at what they do, and they can change immediately. Because versatile means you can do many different things. So as the situation changes, they can change the mood and everything. They can charm the gopis to pacify their anger. So you have to be able to say nice things so that they're not upset with Krishna, because they're on Krishna's side. Right? But you require that. Because otherwise, if there's no one on Krishna's side, then how do you, you know, what do you do with all your people? Right? You know? So it's you know. And they offer intimate and confidential advice to the gopis. You know, different things they can do, different ways they can arrange things and stuff like that. You know, it's like this pastime of that you see sometimes gopis dressed up as cowherd boys. So that advice was given by Radharani's brother, right, Sridham. That was his idea. Right, because they were wondering how to be with Krishna, but the situation was stuff they couldn't go. So he said, well, why don't you dress up as cowherd boys? That was his idea, in a sense. So. Vijay, what are the characteristics of the Cheta Sahaya? That means the confidential messenger. The Cheta Sahaya are good at spying and gathering information, accomplishing secret missions, and are fearless, bold, and intelligent. Bangura and Bringara are the leading Cheta Sahaya of Krishna and Gokula. In other words, they fit into these categories. Because, in other words, somebody may be able to do many of them, but generally they fit into one category. So whenever something's to get done, they do all this. Okay, that makes sense? Because you have to know what's going on with other things. The thing is the girls can't move around in public, but they have, you know, access within the house. But the boys, you know, then here, they can move around in public, so they can do more spying. But they can't always tell what's going on inside. Right? But does that make sense? So, you know, it needs a combination.
Just like one more parallel to how the material world follows the spiritual world. This is like how all this mystery and secret films are run, right?
Yeah, yeah.
James Bond and all
You have to have a confidential message. The problem is in his world, you never know if they're confidential or not. That's the problem.
That's the material world, isn't
it? Yeah, that's the material world. Yeah, so that's why it says possess deep anurag, commitment to Krishna. Because otherwise, how is it going to work? You know? Okay. Vijaya, what are the characteristics of the Vita Sahaya? Right, that is the attendant. The Vita Sahaya are talented in dressing and ornamenting Krishna. They are cunning, skilled in conversation, and know the mystical art of casting spells and making charms to bring others under control. Kadara and Bharati Banda are prominent Vita Sahaya. Right, so they can dress them up nicely and make all the arrangements like this. Vijaya, what are the characteristics of the Vidushak Sahaya? Goswami, gourmandizing, quarreling, making humorous bodily caricatures, making quick witty retorts, and making other people laugh by dressing funnily are the qualities of Vasanta, Madhu Mangal, and the other Vidushak Sahaya of Krishna. Right? So in other words, they like to eat and they make a whole scene out of it. Otherwise, how do you have fun eating? Right? Because eating, you just sit down and eat. But they make a whole thing out of the eating, so then it adds more to that. Right? Quarreling, they can start all kinds of nice little fights and all that over something stupid, of course. You know, otherwise, why is it fun, right? Making humorous bodily caricatures, right? So they can you know, do all kinds of funny things. Like that, quick witty retorts. Whatever you know, Krishna says, they can come back with something very witty, like that, or someone else says something, and then they come back with that. Because it's also, if Krishna's with the gopis, then they also, if they're also more confidential, then they may be there, and then they can make all kinds of witty retorts. So Krishna doesn't have to make them, right? You know, just like gopis will interact with Krishna, and Radharani will be in the background. So sometimes. Then the Vidushak will interact while Krishna is in the background. Right? Because then he can take his more audacious mood or, you know, that youthful or, you know, other things like that. Yes.
This sounds a little bit like Nityananda Prabhu and that great Acharya.
Yes. It means that kind of quarreling, but it doesn't necessarily mean that means it may have that element.
Yeah.
Like that. But in this case, kind of, it's almost like arguing with yourself.
Yeah, exactly, because they are.
That means they're all Balaram.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, they're different aspects of the personality of Balaram. So it's just like, you know how you can argue with yourself,
yeah,
and you don't mind it, so then here. So it's just, but now you have two forms to argue with yourself. Does that make sense? Yeah. There's a consistency in the argument. Vijaya, what are the characteristics of the Pita Mardha Sahaya? Goswami, almost as qualified as the Nayaka, Krishna himself, the only Pita Mardha Sahaya, Sridham, is still content to be Krishna's follower and constant companion. Okay, what was the Pita Mardha? Highly qualified friend. Okay, so basically they're like Krishna, but they're content to be a follower. So basically Sridham is the only Pita Mardha Sahaya. Like that. Vijay, just like Radharani has the Astasaki. So they're all leaders. Means within the 108 gopis, they're within that. But when we say the eight main gopis, they're not the eight main gopis. You know what I'm saying? They're part of it. Radharani, you know, the opposition, all that, they're all part of the eight. She's, when we say Astasaki, that means Radharani's eight friends. So every one of the 108 has their eight friends. But there are those within that 100, within that eight, or you know, that they are as qualified, almost as qualified as Radharani, but they're submissive to and function under. So they have their own groups, but they work under Radharani. So their groups assist them in serving Radharani. Does that make sense?
Like Lalita?
Yeah, Lalita Vishaka. Then they're, because in the eight, they're three and four. Right? So in other words, Radharani is one, and then her main assistants are three and four. Right? The competition is two, and then her main assistants are five and six. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense.
Seven.
Means it's others like that. Means to mention in the introduction of the Nectar Devotion. You know, you have your Tara, Palika, Shamala, she's there, but she's always with Radharani. So when they give lists, they always put her before Lalita and Vishaka. Or after Lalita. I think Lalita, Shamala, then Vishaka. But technically that's not the spot, but she's put in that spot. What are the characteristics of the Priya Narma Shaka Sahaya? Goswami, the Priya Narma Shaka Sahaya, amongst whose Subal and Arjuna are prominent, share extremely confidential secrets, and they emulate the bhavas of the gopis. Therefore, they are the best of Krishna's friends. Right? So, means the others, Sridham is there, so he moves with Krishna. So when you're more in a public kind of thing, then he's always, you know, there and prominent, like Krishna. But he doesn't take that prominence. It always goes to Krishna. Just like when Balaram's with Krishna, then you can see the both of them are there. But here, it's still Krishna with Sridham. So it's yeah.
How do we understand emulate the bhava of the gopis?
Means whatever mood the gopis are in, they can also match that mood.
That sounds almost like Madhurya.
No, it's just that they can, in other words, they can appreciate up to Mahabhav, these confidential ones. The other ones it mentions there, they go up to Anuraga. But that's where it goes. So they'll go up to a certain point, but they actually go all the way through to Mahabhav. So they can be much more involved in the pastimes. In other words, pastimes where all the gopis are there, they can be involved in. But when it's just Radha and Krishna, then they won't be involved. Then it will only be other gopis.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Basically up to that. So when they're having that kind of interaction between everyone, they can still be there. Mm-hmm. So as Krishna and the gopis, there, they might be there and eat with Krishna or different things like that. Amongst these five, the Cheta Sahaya are in Dasya Ras, the Pita Marda are Vira Ras, and the other three are in Sakya Ras. Right? Does that make sense? So these are the assistants, so the confidential messengers. So they're Dasya. And then Pita, what was the Pita Marda? Oh, Pita Marda is in Vira. So that's only Sridhar.
Yeah.
So in other words, the Chaitas are higher Dasya, the others are in Sakya. Further, the Chaitas are higher all in the category of Krishna's Kinkara, servants, whereas the other four Sahaya are his Shakas, right, the cowherd boys. This also then makes a difference in why it's not categorized. Yes. Vijaya, are there no female Sahaya of Krishna, Goswami? Yes, there are, and they are known as Dutis, messengers. Right? You have a Duta, so a Duti is a... Vijaya, are there many kinds of Dutis? Goswami, there are two varieties of Duti, Swayam Duti, messengers of one's own self, and apta duty, messengers on behalf of oneself. Kataksha, the sidelong glance, and Vamsi, Dvani, the flute sound and song, are swayam duties. Right? Does that make sense? So those are the messengers on behalf of beings that are messengers, but it's one's own self.
He's a female.
Huh?
He's a female.
Yeah. So it seems that's why the gopis don't mind flute being around. Otherwise, then it would be a problem. Who are the apta duties? Goswami. Krishna's apta duties are Vira, who is bold, even cheeky and artful speaker, and Vrinda, who is an expert flatterer. The Swayam duty and Apta duty are Ashadhani, very special personalities. Besides these special duties, Krishna has many Sadarani duties, ordinary female messengers, categorized as, and so in other words, these are the special ones. Then you have your just general ones, because anybody can act as a messenger, right? Does that make sense? Like there's those who are always messengers. And then there's those who can act as, who may, just for a certain situation, act as messengers. Okay. So these ordinary female messengers categorized as Lingini, Daivagya, and Silpakarani. They will be discussed later under the topic of Nayikas and duties, when they will be more relevant. Like, because now it won't mean much. So, because... See, what we're doing is going through explaining who are the Nayikas, right, the male aspects, and then you go through the female. But this has to go through, like when we go through the Radha Krishna Ganodesh Deepika, then these are all explained. Right? But you don't, it's not so much examples, it's just the definitions are given. Mm-hmm. Like that. So here then more example is given. Vijaya, Gurudev, as our beloved Krishna is Upapati, it is indispensable to my bhajan to learn something about the gopis of Braja. Goswami, Krishna's consorts in Braja are all primarily in Parakya Rasa. For without Parakya, Madhurya Rasa cannot fully blossom to the highest pristine splendor. Right? Mm. Because there's that element of, because it's not yours, then so much more is manifest. Because in the other one, it's yours, then it becomes restricted a little bit, and that then whenever is the proper time, it will be brought out. You know what I'm saying? But that also has that taste, because then that restriction then creates that particular focus, and you taste each one more, specifically. Right? Well, in the Parakya, because of its natural volatility, then it's going to have all those different aspects happening in very intensely, but very, very quickly. Mm. Does that make sense? So, in one sense, you can say that's more the feminine nature. right? But the others, then that's the peaceful aspect of it. So that's the more. Does that make sense? So in other words, in the material world, it will be reversed. So that's why it's always very important that it's seen as what's going to create more taste or more rasa for Krishna, because you're dealing here with just pure affection, right? Because it's only about Krishna, so there can't be anything impure in the whole process, right? The identity is servant of Krishna, right? The attraction is to Krishna. The samskars are Krishna, so therefore the whole process will be nice. But here, the samskars are previous material engagement, and then what are your options from that is due to your present false ego. So they'll never be pure, right? It's always mixed, right? The Madhurya Rasa of the queens in Dwarka is restricted because of the formal conjugal relationship, whereas the gopis of Raja are embellished with Shuddha Kama for Krishna, making their Madhurya Rasa unbridled and fearless. And this gives the greatest pleasure to Krishna. Right? Because it's not, there's no legal connection. Right? So then it's just emotion. Well, the other has a legal connection, so naturally then you're going to do things, you know, means as is appropriate for the other's benefit. You know what I'm saying? Because that's duty. Does that make sense? So while in here, then it's unbridled, right? Because it's not bound by duty. It's only bound by that natural attraction.
So you can't take it for granted.
Yeah, you can't take it for granted, but I mean that makes that element of it's moving very quickly. So its intensity is there. Does that make sense? Yeah. Vijaya, what is the purport of this philosophy? Goswami, Rudra, Lord Shiva, the expert preceptor of Sringara Ras, says the womanly traits such as vamata, contrariness, and durlavata, elusiveness, etc., create an aura around the beloved, making her appear more difficult to attain. It's interesting, because I think there's only three. These painful difficulties of attaining the treasured maiden are the most devastating weapons of Kandarpa Kamadev, the arrows of love. Vishnugupta comments that when the impediments on the path to reach the coveted doe-eyed beloved are numerous, the heart of the gallant lover naturally becomes more deeply captivated by her. Right? Because it's so easy to obtain, then what's the specialty? But the more difficult to obtain. But the thing is means you have, of course, the difficulty in that she's somewhere else, or, you know, the bad guy's got her, or she's hanging off of a cliff, or, you know, all these kinds of things like that. And he's got to get there. But even once that's there, then she herself creates the obstacles, the contrariness, the elusiveness, all these different things. It makes it hard to obtain. So all that makes it more... But here it mentions the heart of the gallant lover, right? In other words, he's willing to put in that effort, right? Because otherwise, if you don't, as soon as there's a little obstacle, there's no effort, then it's kind of like, you know, then what do you want? You say, no, it should go nicely. But you're not putting in the effort, so why they should put in the effort, right? Because contrariness and elusiveness, that's natural. You know what I'm saying? You know, why make so much trouble? But that means that's an effort. But you're not making effort, so why, you know what I'm saying? So, Krishna's Atmarama, yet in the Rasa Lili, expands into as many Krishnas as there are gopis, and individually dances with each one of them. Every sadhaka must develop the attachment and devotion to the Rasa Lila. One piece of advice could be given. If the sadhaka desires his highest benefit, then he must enter this divine Rasalila pastime in a mood of devoted service and never even obtain the thought of acting like Krishna. Right? The point is that it's only service, so there's no question of trying to enjoy the scene. Right? Because one of the aspects is that we do even devotional service because of the pleasure we get, right? But that doesn't mean we should give up the devotional service. It means that we should give up the idea that I'm doing this because I'll be happy from it. The point is if Krishna's happy, you'll automatically be happy. So if you're worried about your happiness, fine, but worry about it by worrying about Krishna's happiness. It'll just come automatically. You know, it's like worrying about, if I eat, will the hunger go away? You know what I'm saying? Is there any way that you can separately endeavor, other than eating, to make the hunger go away? So there's no separate way you can endeavor to become happy other than Krishna's happiness. So it's not something to worry about. So the point is by worrying about it, that keeps one out of the dynamic devotional service. Does that make sense?
Yes.
In the attitude, that's all. So in other words, one has to be very, very careful about this, that one's not trying to enjoy. Because even though it's spiritual, it's still not supposed to be there. Right? In Vaikuntha, it still can be there. But in Braj, it can't be there. Otherwise, how do you get that such full manifestation? Because if someone's doing something just for themselves, how can Krishna respond to that? In other words, if you're doing 50%, Krishna can only respond by 50%. Because that's what you want. That's what you're offering. Does that make sense? Yeah. But the point is that if you're doing otherwise, then yes, so therefore, if you're giving 100%, Krishna could give 100%. So Krishna wants to give 100%. So that's why this element of pure, unalloyed devotion is there, because that's what Krishna's functioning on.
Yeah.
Right? The point is we're saying, oh, why do I have to give up so much like this? But then whatever is the degree of your surrender is to that degree that Krishna reciprocates. You don't fully surrender, then how will he reciprocate that? Does that make sense? The purport is that one must develop Gopi Bhava by being humbly subservient to the gopis. This is the only entrance into this pastimes. Right? Does that make sense? So, Gopi Bhava means the mood of the gopis. What is the mood of the gopis? In this, that absolute full surrender. Right? Here it doesn't mean Gopi Bhava sitting around and reading just about pastimes of the gopis. You understand? Like that. So, yeah. So one has to be very careful. This, just for information, this is one of the buzzwords here. People just hear it and they freak out, right? Because they've given the name of the Gopi Bhava Club to anybody who gets involved like this. But the point is that's not actually the Gopi Bhava Club. The Gopi Bhava Club is one who's fully surrendered to serving Krishna. That's the mood of the gopis. Like that. Does that make sense? Because that's the purport. Yeah? Vijaya, kindly explain Gopi Bhava. Goswami. Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, is a gopa, and his most exquisite partners in Madhurya Rasa are solely the gopis. The sadhaka who is eligible to practice Madhurya Sringara Rasa must perform Krishna Bhajan in the same manner as the gopis. He must assume in his mind that he is a gopi in Braja. A maidservant under the guidance of an immensely fortunate Vraja Vasini, female resident of Braja. His only business should be to strictly execute her instructions and lovingly serve Sri Radhika and Sri Krishna. He must conceive himself as a paroda, a gopi married to a gopa, who always desires Krishna's association. Only then he can evoke Parakya Rasa from within his heart. This paroda abhiman is the intimate dharma of the Vraja gopis. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in verse 19. Okay. So now the point is what does this mean? He's a gopi and vraja, maidservant under the guidance of an immensely fortunate vrajavasini, right? So the point is this is the parampara. The point is Rupa Goswami is such a personality. So if you follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore he is pointing out that one has to surrender to Krishna in that mood of pure devotion, that Shuddha Bhakti. Because that's the primary element, just like we were saying before. Servant of Krishna, that, you know, complete means absolute 100% surrendered unto Krishna as a servant is the overall mood of the Brajavasis. Right? In the mood of Vaikuntha, it's they're servants of Krishna. They're in pure devotional service. But in Vrindavan, it's pure unalloyed devotional service, right? Then within that identity, then there's that particular taste of how they are serving Krishna, right? As, you know, parent, as friend, as lover, as servant, like this. Does that make sense? Right? And then they'll have the identity. Does that make sense? Do we see that there's a progression here? So, what would that mean? Now, if you haven't come to the platform of pure devotional service, can you take on the abhiman? No. Of the gopi, you understand? It's a process. Right? It means you go in, you put down your money, you sign all the papers, like that, then they give you the keys, then you can drive the car. You can't just walk in and say, where's the keys? You know, or get in the car without the keys and drive off. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Huh? No, it's probably that big tall guy, you know, wearing the suit and that little kind of thing in his ear will come over and pull you out of the car and throw you out, right? Yeah. So, therefore, that's the whole point, is that in this you say, oh, so therefore I have to do this. But the point is that we're in, what is it? We're in chapter 32. So, what about all the 32 chapters before this? Are they in place? Have we come to the point of pure devotional service? Right? Does that make sense? Then you can take on these. Does that make sense? So, in other words, that's the difficulty with the when it's like when you understand the whole process, then that's following in the footsteps of the gopis. But when you just jump to this conclusion, that's the Gopi Baba Club. So that you want to avoid. Unfortunately, most devotees can't tell the difference. So, therefore, that's why these things are kept confidential. Right? Does that make sense? Right. Yeah. So the point is unless one is on the liberated platform, you can't place yourself in the pastimes. Right? Because just like we said, you don't have the right attitude. So how would that be there? Because it means we'll say, no, but the abhiman is that of the gopi of Vrindavan, right? The lover of Krishna. But what's the whole point of you being in the pastimes?
To enjoy.
So that means then you're putting yourself like Krishna, right? And Krishna's not in the Vrindavan pastimes as a girl. He's there as a boy. You understand? So it's not going to work. That identity won't work. So that's why until one gives up the Purusha Bhav, then one doesn't place oneself into the pastimes. That's the difference. Sahajiyas, from a word go, place themselves there. That's why it's sahaj. It's easy. It's cheap. Right? But when you're liberated, then the point is then if you think it, you will be there. So the point is you don't have to place yourself there. When you're qualified, you will be there. Does that make sense? Is that yeah. So that doesn't.
As you mentioned before, and those who are there, they don't talk about it.
Yeah, those who are there don't talk about it, and those who are not qualified shouldn't be talking about it. Right? So in other words, it's not talked about. Right? So here it's just describing what's there. So this is the philosophy of what's going on. This is the science. Does that make sense? But it said that the realization, that's what's not discussed. Does that make sense? Okay, so Srila Rupa Goswami writes in verse 19, Sri Ujjvala Nilamani, Krishna Vallabha Prakarana. Okay. The Vraja Gopis who maintain the abhiman of being paroda become wives of gopas after a contrived marriage has been arranged by Yoga Maya. Right? It means some arrangement has been made. Because the point is you're not interested in being married anyway, so do you really care who you're married to?
No.
It doesn't really matter. Does that make sense? So, therefore, Yoga Maya has been, contrived marriage has been arranged.
The old ball and chain.
Yeah, like that. The other side of the channel. Okay. However, they never consummate their marriages with their individual husbands. When these gopis are away from their homes on a lover's rendezvous with Krishna, again Yoga Maya creates their exact replicas to be present in their homes. When the husband returns and sees his wife in the house, he considers, my wife is certainly here at home. Thus he can never develop envy towards Krishna, right? Because otherwise, you don't think they're going to talk, right? You know, it's like that, whatever it is, this gopa, you're looking a little, pale today. Yeah, my wife was not there the whole night. Strange, my wife wasn't there either. Really, you guys, my wife wasn't there. And they're like, hey, what's going on here? So that's when they get out their torches and pitchforks, right? So therefore, Yoga Maya arranges that someone's there, right? So that's why there's no problem. But there's that first point when Krishna blows the flute, plays on his flute, that they're trying to get out of the house. But the point is if that attachment to Krishna is complete, then they do get out of the house, and then everybody thinks someone's there with them. But if not, then they think you're actually trying to leave the house, so then they lock you up in the room. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of if the attachment is complete. Once it comes to that, then they're able to sneak out. But Yoga Maya arranges that. They're not worried about that. It's not that they have to think about it. Because the point is the husbands are Yoga Maya's arrangement anyway. So now Yoga Maya's arrangement of a wife to go with that husband, it's not a problem. One can think, well, how will it work out? She's already taking care of that, Does that make sense? So it's one of those things you don't have to worry about it. The point is that they're conscious how to get out of the house, how to be clever, how to meet with Krishna. There is never an intimate conjugal relationship between the Vraja Gopis and their so-called husbands, right? So when it mentions there about taking care of the children in the house, that means other wives. Does that make sense? So that's another advantage of the polygamy, is that therefore the Gopis can have more than one wife. So one couldn't care less about and doesn't pay any attention. Right, but if there's more than one wife, that other wife, then she's happy being married to the gopa, and they have children and everything like that. So all the social pressure is off, right? Because if it was only that one girl, then everybody would be pushing her to have children. But this way, they already have children. They just think she's nuts. Does that make sense? So it works out.
That other wife is not. A gopi is going
to go and... No. That's somebody else. Probably another arrangement of Yoga Maya. No, it mentions those who are Krishna's lovers, they don't have any intimate connection with anybody else. Mm. Like that. It just doesn't happen. Like that. That makes sense. In truth, these contrived husbands are the avatars in Vraja Gokul of the Paroda Bhava of the gopis in Goloka. Right? As we mentioned before, is that they have the feeling that I have a husband. So that feeling of I have a husband incarnates as the so-called husband in Gokul. Right? So all it is he's just the mood that they have. So even they don't even have intimate interaction with their own mood of I have a husband. Right? Does that make sense? So that's chaste.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the incarnation, the mood of I am that they have a husband. Now that incarnation of that mood thinks I have a wife,
yeah,
right? So that's what Yoga Maya arranges for that what do you call it? You understand? So in other words, everything's based on moods, right? Their marriages are also mayika pratyaya, illusory notions. Hence, there's no question of the Braja Gopis being wedded wives of these husbands, or in a relationship to Krishna's other wives, or in a relationship to Krishna, another's wife, right? Yeah, so in other words, when they're with Krishna, there's not a thing that, well, I'm someone else's wife, well, I gotta go now, or this or that kind of thing. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's just there with Krishna. So it's just all created to create the mood. So you can have that mood. Nevertheless, Parodha Abhiman is eternally present within the hearts of the Braja Gopis. Were this Parodha Abhiman absent, then the wondrous rasa engendered by the transgression of marriage vows, the impediments placed before the Upapati, and the Gopis' Vamata, contrariness, and Durlabha, elusiveness, would never be natural and spontaneous. Right? So there has to be that mood. Otherwise, how does Krishna... One, it's already there's a difficulty in when you're with them that they put up this shyness and... What was the other? Contrariness and elusiveness. Oh, the last one, shyness. That's it. There's three. Contrariness, elusiveness, and shyness. These are the natural... qualities here. But because in the Parakeya it's less, you see the shyness less. Swakeya, that will be more prominent. That's probably why here he said etc., even though there was only one more. Right? Because the shyness, you don't see that so much. It's a very minimal. So it's not an obstacle. Because when they're together, then you'll only have the contrariness and elusiveness. Right? But these three are the natural nature of women. So they're always manifesting these. Right? So he has both the difficulty of getting out of his house and meeting with them because, you know, they're not married, right? If you're married, you don't have to get out of your house to interact with your wife. If you're not married, he has to get out of his house, they have to get out of their house, right? They have to meet somewhere. So all that is very difficult. Then you put on top of that the contrariness and the elusiveness. Once you get there. Right? You know, so all that then creates more and more deeper interest. Does that make sense?
It means that Krishna also is married?
Krishna is married? No.
No.
So he's in his own house. What reason does he have to go out?
This means that everybody come to Krishna's house?
No. Point is you're living in your father's house.
Yes.
You're supposed to be in bed.
Yes.
Right? So, where's the opportunity to go out?
Yes.
Legally.
Yes.
So it's illegal that you're going out. You know what I'm saying? If you're married, then you're in bed. You don't have to go out because your wife's also in bed.
Yes. Krishna is small. He's in the house of his father. It
means he's up to almost 16.
16.
Yeah. Means that whole range, 13 to 15.
So he always stays at his father's
house. He's always in Vrindavan. He's always in his father's house. Yes. Mm-hmm. Only when he leaves, he goes to Mathura.
Yes.
Then he's not. Then he's with Vasudeva. You know, but once he marries Rukmini and the others, then he stays in his own palace. Okay. So, therefore, he has to get out of his house, and they have to get out of their house. So that already is obstacle. So that already creates more interest. Is that something? Then you put on top of that, even when you're together, then there's the contrariness and the elusiveness. Does that make sense? You know, those would be the prominent. Shyness will just pop up now and again.
Mm-hmm.
Just for a moment. And then, naturally, then one tries to take advantage of that, and then it'll turn back again into contrariness and elusiveness. Therefore, to attain the bhava of the Nayika in Brajarasa, that one should cultivate Parodha Abhiman, is indispensable. Sri Lakshmi Devi in Vaikuntha is an example of someone who cannot enter Parakya Rasa since she does not cultivate Parodha Abhiman. Right? Because then the point is she is Narayan's wife. So then she would have to give up that she's Narayan's wife to be with Krishna. Right? But she's not going to do that. No, because the others, they have to give up husbands that are not Krishna. So that's easy enough. But here, how do you give up that Krishna's my husband, and so then I'll go be with Krishna? So it's not going to work. That's why Lakshmi can't get into the pastimes. Because of this, of the Abhiman is wrong. Right? Because her Abhiman is, I am the consort of Vishnu. Vijaya. What is the process of cultivating Parodha Abhiman? Goswami. One must meditate thinking, I have taken birth in the home of a gopa in Vraja, and when I reached the proper age, I was given in marriage to a youthful gopa. When such meditation intensifies, then the desire to attain Krishna's intimate companionship gains momentum. Right? So, but to get to this means that one has to be focused on, I am servant of such persons. Right? That's the meaning of parampara. I am the servant of my spiritual master, servant of Srila Prabhupada, servant of the previous acharyas headed by Rupa Goswami. That's the position. Does that make sense? They do these things. We only appreciate. Yes. Abhiman is the identity. Like that. In other words, Mother Yashoda, she has the parental attraction to Krishna as child. Right? But now to function within that, she has the Abhiman of, I am Krishna's mother. Does that make sense? So in other words, there's a particular type of attraction you have, but then there's the identity that goes with it. Right? Because attraction is one thing, but you have to, the position has to be there of, it means the Shankarshan is the identity, then Prajumna is the attraction within that identity. But in this case, attraction is first, then there must be the Abhiman. Right? Then there's the manifestation, you know, of a particular form. Does that make sense? Okay. When such meditation intensifies, then the desire to attain Krishna's intimate companionship gains momentum. In this way, one assumes the mood of a gopi yearning for Krishna in an unconsummated marriage. This is the cultivation of gopi bhava. Vijaya, how is it possible for a male sadhaka to assume gopi bhava? Goswami, the jiva thinks of himself or herself as male or female only by the influence of the maya shakti. In the realm of spiritual nature, except for Krishna's eternal male associates, the inherent spiritual nature of all jivas is female. In the transcendental nature, the material features that distinguish the different sexes of the world do not exist. Any jiva can acquire the right to become a Vrajavasini when impelled by his innate swabhava and the resolute cultivation of a pertinent abhiman. Only those who possess such an unwavering desire for Madhurya Rasa are eligible to become Vrajavasinis. When a person's sadhana complements his ruchi, he attains perfection accordingly. Right? So in other words, the sadhana is stable and, you know, it matches his taste. Right? So that also gives a slight indication that this kind of direction is there once that stableness is there and that taste for Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So that means by properly following the sadhana, one gets purified, the anarta is removed, one becomes stable, that becomes, you know, continues, then one gets a taste. right? So then this is just a further, a specific element of the taste. Does that make sense? Yeah, but we point out is here, it's the desire for it. So you desire to develop love for Krishna, that's the qualification to develop love for Krishna. Right? It's not, I'm doing this activity, therefore I should get love of Krishna. Because that's karma. No, I want love for Krishna. So what can I do? The acharyas have recommended doing this. So because I want love of Krishna, I'm following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas by doing what they recommend. That will then someone of that qualification develops love for Krishna. You understand? It's the opposite. Does this make sense? Yes? No? Vijaya, how many varieties of Vrajasundari are there? Goswami, there are three kinds. Saranapara, gopis by sadhana, Devi, gopis previously Devis, and Nityapriya, eternally dear gopis. Right? Those, in other words, those who by practicing sadhana, they get to this platform. Those who were Devis, or you know, coming from the heavenly planets, who came down for the pastimes. And those who are the eternal associates, right? You know, Prabhupada's mentioning that in the in introduction of the Rasa dance, right? So the sages at Dandakaranya, they're sadhakas, right? They're one group. There's so many groups like that, but they're one group. Then there are those who are the, you know, because everybody comes down for the pastimes, right? All the demigods came down. So there's the Devis who came down, who they had that kind of attraction to Krishna. Then they were also in one of the groups. But still, all of these two groups still have to develop love for Krishna. Right? Because you're born in Braja doesn't mean you're born with love for Krishna. You're born in Braja with that interest in developing love for Krishna. Does that make sense? You remember Krishna at the time of death, you're born in Vrindavan. But the point is whatever stage of advancement you were, that's the stage that you are going to continue from. But now there are no material impediments. But you still have to get the association of these eternally liberated gopis and develop their mood. Right? So this is where seriously following in the footsteps happens. Right? So that's the specific raganuga. Once you come to the platform of prema, then it's ragatmika. Then rag, that attraction, is your life. But still, you'll follow in their footsteps, but you become ragatmika. Right? You're ragatmika following the raganuga. It means you're raganuga ragatmika following the ragatmika mood of those who are ahead of you. Does that make sense? Yes. No, but that's a detail. The point is you have to desire developing love for Krishna. That's the whole point. That's what you're interested in. You're following in the footsteps of the other devotees in their service to Krishna. Does that make sense? So, once one comes to the platform of bhava, then that naturally develops. Right? Because you're associating with the eternal associates, so you take on their mood, and so like that, then you, by Krishna's grace, develop pure unalloyed devotion. Does that make sense? The mechanics remain. These are details we're going through. Okay?
So it's like in this lifetime, it's not necessary to worry about develop the special mood?
No, it's not. It means if it comes up on its own, great. But if it doesn't, don't worry about it. Because the point is when you get to the platform of bhava, you're liberated. You're Uttamadhikari, right? You're in your spiritual form. So you'll work it out then. Does that make sense? So basically, it might, but the thing is it's coming up means there's the coming up of, there's the interest in that. But you can't place yourself there until you're liberated. You know what I'm saying?
Would the desire to serve Krishna be contaminated by Purusha Bhava in the beginning?
Means as a sadhaka, yes. So that's why these aren't the meditation. Is that what it says?
So when it's drink from Purusha Bhava, then it changes to meditation?
Yeah, because Purusha Bhava is gotten rid of when you come to the platform, when you're liberated. Does that make sense? So that's where that happens. So if you're still in this body and you come to the platform of Bhava, then through meditation you think about the Surup city and render your service there through meditation. So you're in Vrindavan, but through meditation. Or you've left this body and, you know, taken birth within Vrindavan in your form there. And then you're continuing on your devotional progress. Is that making sense? Yeah, so it happens at liberation. So before that, it's just one's aware of what's going on. And there's that interest to develop love for Krishna. Does that make sense? Yes, something over here.
Can you get to the level of Bhava without going to the level of Bhava?
Yes. But once you get to Bhava, then you'll naturally take up Raghunuga, because that's the process. Vrindavan means Raghunuga. So you can either start from the Madhyama platform, or you start at the platform of Bhava. It doesn't really matter, just whichever happens. Does that make sense? Well, time is up. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Janyatai Gaurav.